So I'll get started. In some of my family photos, there are pictures of me, but as a two-year-old toddler with my dad. In a lot of photos, I'm very stylishly dressed, as toddlers often are. Notably, in these photos, I had my arms crossed and the grumpiest facial expression a two-year-old me could probably muster up. I was living in India at the time, and my parents came to pick me up so that I could move to the US where they were already settled. I didn't really remember my dad then, so as a strong-willed toddler, I was sure to make my posture of distrust and grumpiness known when I was told to pose for photos with him. Over the years, my dad and I have taken a lot of photos together, and I noticed that in the photos since my toddler days, my posture has changed significantly. I don't have my arms crossed. They're more frequently giving my dad a side hug. And my facial expressions aren't grumpy anymore. They're usually flashing a smile. I thought about what changed since those toddler photos and realized that as I spent more time with my dad, I got to know him and trust him, which completely changed my posture toward him. Maybe you've had a similar experience in which once you got to know someone, you noticed your posture toward them naturally changed, or you intentionally worked on changing it. Either way, posture is a really important way in which we can connect or disconnect from people, and posture is a really important way in which we can connect or disconnect from God. Now, for a bit of backstory to this message, when I was presented with this opportunity to talk about a piece of scripture that's important to me as part of our God Passions, Life Verses, and Principles series, a verse immediately came to mind. The verse is one that struck me with its significance about 7-ish years ago, but I wasn't ready to unpack it and implement it into my life then. But this year, God has been bringing me back to areas that I set aside, and he's been challenging me with the question, will you really love me, and will you really trust me like you say you want to? I spent some time praying about this verse because it's a very challenging and painful one to talk about, you'll see. I thought, God, how am I supposed to talk about something difficult if I haven't mastered it? There are plenty of other verses I can talk about that will be more easily received than this one. But after praying, I sensed that God wanted me to unpack this verse, and God reminded me that there isn't shame in my journey being in a state of progress, because often that's where we find ourselves, working with God through something. Suspense aside, my focus verse is part of Job 1, verse 21, and it says, "The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised." Let's pray. God, we thank you for being a God who comes down and meets with your people. We thank you for being here today. Would you please help us to understand you in a deeper and truer way? And may we carry it with you and spread it to people who need hope. Thank you again for being here with us. In your name we pray. Amen. Now, the book of Job explores a lot about suffering, and it also explores how with prolonged suffering, Job does go on to falter from his initial stance I just read in the focus verse. However, at the end of the book, in chapter 42, Job returns to his initial stance of submission and worship. Although there's so many awesome things to glean from in the book of Job, for the scope of this verse, we'll be focusing in on chapter 1 and the concept of posture. To help us understand the context behind this beautiful but difficult statement made by Job, I want to summarize the 20 verses before this one. Job was the greatest man in the East in terms of influence, power, and wealth. God himself said that Job was blameless and upright, a man who feared God and shunned evil. Satan tells God that the only reason Job behaved in this way was because God was protecting Job, his household, and everything he had. God was also causing everything Job did to prosper. But If God were to strike everything Job had, Satan was convinced that Job would curse God to his face. God allowed Satan to test out this theory. Later, Job receives a sequence of reports, all occurring on the same day, in which he lost all his oxen, donkeys, sheep, camels, most of his servants, and all 7 sons and 3 daughters. Job responds in grief. He recognizes that he came to the world with nothing and that he would be leaving with nothing. He also responds in another way. Let me read verse 20. At this, Job got up, tore his robe, and shaved his head. Then he fell to the ground in worship. Job bowed down in worship to God, and by doing so, he disproved Satan's claim that Job would curse God to his face when he lost what God gave him. When this verse first stood out to me, I thought about Job's posture of not only seeking God's hand or blessings in his life, but actually seeking God's face, or loving God for who he is and responding in obedience to him. Job chose to stay connected to God when he could have easily disconnected and walked away with his pain. Instead, he submitted to and worshiped God even when things God blessed him with were taken away, which highlighted that his faith did not solely depend on what God could give him or what God could do for him. In terms of the character of Job that God himself highlighted, the word blameless does not indicate that Job was without sin. What blameless here means is that he responded with integrity, sincerity, and consistency toward God and man, and he had upright or honorable interactions with others. He was devoted to God and carefully avoided sinning against God and man. In later chapters of Job, it talks about how Job cared for the needy, took care of orphans, and argued cases in court for the underprivileged. So, Job, in addition to being a good steward of what God gave him, practiced principles that were important to God, which is also reflected in his response to his great loss. He had known and experienced God as the giver of his great influence, wealth, and children, but now he experienced God in a new way. He experienced God as the one who took these things away from him. Despite this significant loss, Job still recognized God's authority over his life under these extremely different circumstances and submitted himself to God and worshiped him. I thought about how great it is to live with such a deep respect and regard for God that if he were to remove all the things in my life that gave me comfort apart from him, that my automatic response would be submission and worship. As I have been intentionally working at adapting Job's posture in chapter 1 to my own life, my posture toward God is sometimes similar to Job's initial stance, and a lot of times it is not. Loss is so big, but sometimes I can let it sit in my life as if it were bigger than God. And this prevents me from fully submitting to and worshiping God. Often I think about losing people I love or something happening to things of comfort, such as my car or where I live or the reputation that I've worked on cultivating, and I'm met with pangs of anxiety. I have the understanding that at any point, all of this can be taken from me by God because all of it isn't mine. It was a gift to me from God. The idea of losing these gifts sometimes terrifies me. I have to go to God for extended periods of prayer to reorient myself because the fear of loss was overwhelming. At points where I've gone through significant losses in my life, such as family and friendships and opportunities, losses that have caused deep grief and mourning, still so painful to me that if I were to talk about it here, I wouldn't be able to continue talking. There have been times where I responded like Job. I committed to the truth of The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away, and responded in praising God. When I was in pain and couldn't find a way out of it, I asked God for help in dealing with the loss. If I couldn't understand the loss, I asked God to help me understand more of Him through Scripture so that He could help me put my loss into the context that He wanted me to see. And I asked for a lot of perspective so that I wouldn't make my loss bigger than God. Other times, my initial response was that I did not want to praise God for taking away someone or something that was really important to me. I remember one of my prayers to a response was an angry, "You could have done something, but you didn't." And I held on to that sentiment and pain for a while before inviting God into those areas to help heal my heart and mind and change my posture. I started thinking about Jesus, who was fully God and fully man, and considered what his posture toward God the Father was like while he was on earth. Jesus, unlike Job, was without sin and knew God in ways that Job did not. But Jesus did face circumstances that revealed his posture toward God. A very significant example of this is in the Garden of Gethsemane in Matthew chapter 26. Here, Jesus knew he was soon to be betrayed and how he would die. Jesus said that he was experiencing grief to the point of death. Jesus prays to God, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me, yet not as I will, but as you will." And, "My Father, if this cup cannot pass away unless I drink from it, your will be done." Like Job's initial stance, Jesus also bowed down and prayed in submission and worship to God. He knew the manner by which he would lose his life, and yet his prayers highlight that Jesus submits himself to the authority of God and responds in worship through his obedience to God, even when he was about to be crucified. Now, if Jesus adopted this sort of posture toward God, then I believe that it must be important for us as Christ followers to carefully consider our posture toward God and whether it aligns with how he intends for us to live. If we unpack our posture a bit further, it raises the question, what would happen if our posture toward God was one of submission and worship in times of loss? I want to invite you to imagine with me as I think out loud for a little bit. I think the more we choose to respond in this way, even if it is challenging, the more we will find that our confidence in God will grow and our experience of God's goodness will not be in question when we're grieving. Because even though our circumstance has changed, God has not and will not. When we set our mind and heart on God instead of our loss, we will have a change in perspective and notice areas in which God is working on our behalf instead of viewing our whole life through the lens of loss. Instead of thinking that God has wronged us, we would remember that Scripture tells us that he has not and will not wrong us. I think that people will see a difference in our attitudes and how we live our lives in times of loss, and people will want to know the source of our peace and our confidence. By recognizing that all the goodness in our life is God's, we will be better stewards of the time, resources, and relationships that we're gifted with, which will impact our lives, our families, and our spheres of influence. Choosing to respond in a posture of submission and worship to God will ultimately change how we connect to God, connect to people. It will change how we see God at work in times of loss, and it will bring us from a surface level faith to one that is deeply rooted in God's character and God's truth. I don't know about you, but even though this seems like a really hard task, I want this rich and authentic life filled with God that comes through submission and worship. Sometimes your motivation for loving or following God can be hidden by prosperity or things going really well for you, be it your relationships or your job or wherever you get your sense of security. But the truth of your heart often comes out during adversity or when you face major difficulties or losses. And this is where you find me now, recognizing that my motivation for serving God is not always what God wants it to be. You find me now working with God at correcting my posture in different areas of my life. Just like when I was a little toddler and I found that once I got to know my dad, I was able to change my posture, I'm finding that the more I know God and love God through studying the Bible, obeying what it says, and asking for God for help through prayer, the more I even want to respond like Job did. I want to respond in submission and worship, not only in my gains, but also in the great losses of my life. The more I get to know God, the more I want to live my life, not with two hands tightly clenched, clinging to what I have, with a heart that's only open to good things happening to me, but with two hands open and an open heart that can receive things and let go of things, recognize the depth of my loss, but also acknowledge that God is good and He is working on my behalf, even in my losses. As I'm working through this, I've been asking God for a lot of help and for a lot of understanding and perspective. He constantly gives me new ways to pray regarding my own losses and the losses of others. One prayer I've been clinging to recently is a request to know and love God in a deeper and truer way. A posture of submission and worship demands a lot of me and a lot of you, but I know that God is so much more than anything I've been given, and He's so much more than anything I'll ever lose. Let me say that again. God is so much more than anything you've been given, and God is so much more than anything you will ever lose. So this is my journey through this verse, and perhaps you've encountered this verse before or are starting to think about what it means for you now. We'll have a time of some personal reflection with questions and prompts. There are handouts and writing utensils that'll come to you. Just raise your hand if you need it here. The questions will be also posted up here and online. These questions and prompts are difficult, but are not meant to condemn or accuse you. They're meant to help you assess where your heart is and where God wants to help you love Him in the way that He intends for you to love Him. We all process in different ways, and perhaps you may not have enough time to go through all the questions here, and that's all right. Feel free to bring this home and continue this conversation with God. And if you just want to sit in the presence of God and look at the handout or questions later, feel free to. I'll be back up in a bit after our time of reflection to close. I'm going to pray to close our reflection time. God, we thank you for being a God who is with your people. You are Emmanuel, God with us. When you ask us to do hard things or things that don't come naturally to us, you're not a God who just sits there and watches us. You're a God who helps us, and you're a God who listens to our prayers. So, Lord, we lift up these things to you, and we lift up all of our thoughts, all of our struggles, and, God, I pray that you would meet each and every person where they're at, and would you love on them, and would you show them how much you have for them. And, Lord, help us to take steps forward in a closer relationship with you. In your name I pray. Amen. God knows the weight of your losses. God knows your pain and confusion. God knows all the complex things that go on in your head and in your heart as you navigate the big losses in your life. Though your loss may be big, God and His love for you is even bigger than the grief, doubt, and pain you possess or will ever possess. And if you find that you have trouble affirming these statements in your life, you can ask God for help. and he'll be there to gently guide and love you in the specific ways that you need. At this time, I'd like to invite up the worship team. And again, I encourage you to continue this conversation with God and see where he wants to help you connect with him, help you see him in your loss, and help you increase your faith in ways that you're not used to. I'll be up here after a closing song and benediction to pray with you, and thank you.